just got Deuteronomy chapter 8 on the screen. I'm going to read through this, and this is not typically what people would say, oh, that's a Thanksgiving text or something, but there's a warning in here about after we become prosperous, not to forget God. So that's why I thought, this is a chapter that Jesus quoted when he was in the wilderness in Matthew 4 being tempted by the devil. The first chapter he quotes from is Deuteronomy chapter 8. So if it's good enough for Jesus to quote, I thought we could take a look at it and just get some lessons for our holidays or holy days to celebrate and guidelines to keep in mind. Be careful to obey all the commands I am giving you today, then you will live and multiply, and you will enter and occupy the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors. And I have a note. This is in Deuteronomy, so this is Moses giving this law again. He's recounting what's happened, and the ancestors that originally came out, the older people, did not have faith, and they disobeyed God when he said, go in and fight these giants and get them out of there. Verse 2, remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for these 40 years, humbling you and testing you to prove your character and to find out whether or not you would obey his commands. So the you is like the second generation. Yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And just an interesting little side note here. Moses, when he was up on Mount Sinai, getting the Ten Commandments, went 40 days and 40 nights with no food or water. That's biologically impossible for us to do that. I'm not recommending that as a crash diet or anything. But the Lord was there. The Lord sustained Moses. And that's kind of interesting. Also interesting, if you read a couple extra chapters here, 8, 9, and 10 in Deuteronomy, I'm going to read 8, but 9 and 10. Moses says, when I came back down and you guys had the golden calf that you had made from all this gold that you'd given Aaron, he says, I threw the tablets on the ground and I went back up the mountain for another 40 days and 40 nights. So really it's 80 days and 80 nights really that Moses didn't even have 10 nuggets for $1.49. Nothing like that, okay? No special deals. But it was the Lord sustaining him. And so in what sense that, I don't know, I hope that doesn't mean that we're not using those 12 fruits of the tree of life in heaven to make pies in heaven. I hope we actually get to do that. But for all these 40 years, your clothes didn't wear out and your feet didn't blister or swell. So for 40 years that they were wandering in the wilderness, they didn't have to stop by Abercrombie and Fitch. I think that's a place that people shop at today. Or Hollister or any of those places. You can tell that I obviously get my clothes there, okay? Salvation Army is where I get most of my... Think about it. Just as a parent disciplines a child, the Lord your God disciplines you for your own good. So obey the commands of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land of flowing streams and pools of water with fountains and springs that gush out in the valleys and hills. All I could think of was brook trout when I saw flowing streams. I was like, all right. It is a land of wheat and barley, of grapevines, fig trees, and pomegranates, of olive oil and honey. It is a land where food is plentiful and nothing is lacking. It is a land where iron is as common as stone and copper is abundant in the hills. When you have eaten your fill, Okay, this sounds like a Thanksgiving verse. When you have eaten your fill, be sure to know where the bathroom... No, okay. That can be a problem if there's one bathroom and 25 people all over at the same... Okay, no. When you have eaten your fill, it's not about bathrooms here, be sure to praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. But that is the time to be careful. Beware that in your plenty you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands, regulations, and decrees that I am giving you today. If you could just parallel the United States of America with Israel, it's pretty easy to say this could have happened, right? I think America has been so blessed, and many of us right in this room were so blessed. And sometimes in our plenty, we forget the Lord. And we think, oh, I worked for this. I built this empire. I did this. For when you have become full and prosperous and have built fine homes to live in, and when your flocks and herds have become very large and your silver and gold have multiplied along with everything else, be careful. Do not become proud at that time and forget the Lord your God who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. Do not forget that he led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its poisonous snakes and scorpions, where it was so hot and dry. He gave you water from the rock. And these are all stories you could review in Exodus. He fed you with manna in the wilderness, a food unknown to your ancestors. He did this to humble you and test you for your own good. If you've ever heard that Keith Green song about the people wandering in the wilderness, he goes through a bunch of foods like manicotti and banana bread and all this stuff that they... But he did it to humble us. He did all this so you would never say to yourself, I have achieved this wealth with my own strength and energy. Remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful in order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed to your ancestors with an oath. But I assure you of this, if you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods, worshiping and bowing down to them, you will certainly be destroyed. Just as the Lord has destroyed other nations in your path, you also will be destroyed if you refuse to obey the Lord your God. So I like that chapter just because of the warnings to us about prosperity. We can get comfortable, can't we? And once we get a little comfortable, we want to be a little more comfortable. And pretty soon, the town car's not good enough. We talked about this in Sunday school class. Now it's got to be a Bentley, and the Bentley's a $200,000 car. And pretty soon, you're like, yeah, really, the Maserati, it's got to be. But I do think we can... just take a warning from this. Prosperity, everything we have to be thankful for is a blessing from the Lord. And we should not be saying, oh, I did this. Okay. So I'm just going to share a couple thoughts I had on Thanksgiving. And there's several instances in the Bible of people sitting down to a big meal and having a feast and a get-together. And just some principles here. If you look at Joseph, and you don't have to turn to all these places. I'm just going to really quickly, in just a matter of minutes, run through these, and who knows when we'll be leaving. It could be excitingly early. Possibly, okay. But when you sit down for a feast this holiday season, remember Joseph and his brother, Job, and specifically Job's children, the Israelites at the Passover feast, the original Passover feast, And Jesus, at the Last Supper, as he was celebrating Passover with his disciples, and also Matthew 22, the wedding feast, and signifying when Jesus comes back for us. So those are some feasts. And then Matthew 24, as it was in the days of Noah, people were feasting and going to weddings right up till the flood. So I just want to look at those stories briefly. And I guess the first thing I'd say is we gather together with people from our families, we should continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. So that is, go in a spirit of prayer, and don't think just because we're glad to see our kids from college or we're glad to see our relatives from California that we never get to see, don't think that somehow we can love them on our own. We can't. We can't do anything on our own, even our loving our family, unless the Lord is supplying the love. So we should continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. So keep going back to God this season and in prayer and be vigilant. One of the words that there was in our motto in World War II, eternal vigilance is the price of liberty. Vigilia pretium libertatis. That was the motto of the Allied Powers' supreme command. So Dwight Eisenhower and Churchill, they would have seen those words all the time. Vigilia pretium libertatis. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty. And I was just going to say, as a response to the things that have happened in Paris and all the terrorist attacks that have happened in this world, we don't have to be afraid. Okay, we can be strong and courageous in the Lord. If you want to do something equal or far, far superior, I would say, to the job that Homeland Security is doing, just every day, go for a walk and pray for your community. Like Roselva Combs used to do with three or four ladies from the Louisville area, every morning they would walk through the Louisville school and pray for the kids and the teachers. They would pray for the community, and they would walk all over the town. And I would say, let your eyes do that. Let your hands do that. Just lift up your hands and just cover our nation's capital and our nation's cities. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Keep going back to God. That is the best defense we have for our country. And you can argue with all of the commentators and all of the politicians about what your stance should be on all these issues, on helping poor people, possibly giving them refuge in our country. I'm not going to offer an opinion on that. I'm just going to say the number one thing that you and I can do is to keep going to God and say, bind Satan. Bind Satan, Lord. Don't let hate and destruction reign supreme in our country. So think about Joseph, Genesis 37. Moving on, Joseph, the only thing that made a feast possible with his brothers was that he had four cups of forgiveness, okay, that he distributed. Okay, if this is a recipe for a good holidays, we're going to continue earnestly in prayer, season our speech with kindness, and have some forgiveness, lots of it, plenty of it. Joseph could have just said, you guys are losers. You sold me into slavery. I'm your brother. How could you do that to your brother? In no account does he just lose it and say, I am going to get so much revenge on you. There's a song on K-Love, and I don't even know the name of it. I'm sure that Alyssa would know it if I say the words. So Alyssa, for $500, and today's daily double. Okay, what song is it? It says, even when the jury and the judge say you've got a right to hold a grudge, forgiveness. Ever hear that song? It's a song about forgiveness. But even when the jury and the judge say you've got a right to hold a grudge, forgiveness. Okay, the only thing that's going to make possible a great holiday season for you if you're getting together with friends and family, forgiveness. Because if you just want to sit down and talk about every little thing that you have against this person, you know, do you remember when you spilled the hot gravy on me last year? Yes, Paul, I remember that. Okay. It happened to me when I was four. I think I was like 4 years old. I was small enough, they just stuck me right in the sink and just washed it all off. But I'm glad I don't have to go through that now. I would not fit in the sink anymore. Okay. And that has to do because of gravy, actually. Okay, but I like to go now to the idea of Job. So Joseph had a feast because he was able to forgive his brothers and then celebrate with them. He had to forgive, though. He had a right to have a grudge, and the jury and the judge would have said so. In Job chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, all the way to verse 22, there's a story of Job losing everything, and a messenger comes and says, "Your children were all over at the oldest brother's house having a feast, and the wind blew, and the house fell down, and your kids are gone." And all I'd say about this is, you need one cup of joyful togetherness. Bake until such time as it becomes necessary to say goodbye. So if we have to say goodbye to loved ones, and we do routinely have to say goodbye to them, let's celebrate the good times while we're together. At least they liked being around one another. Some families, in order to kill every kid, you'd have to have 10 different houses blow down, right? Because they don't want to have anything to do with each other. So Job's family is possibly setting a good example for us. They were close. And they probably were close because their dad had taught them to be thankful and to cherish one another. So I would say make sure that when you sit down at the table this year that you cherish one another. Don't assume that everyone will be back again next year or next month or next week. We need to be very, very thankful for everybody we've got with us. The next supper I'd like to think about is the Passover meal that Jesus sat at with his disciples. He knows he's going to be crucified just hours away. And he sat down and he had a nice meal with his disciples. And he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Keep doing this, okay? This bread, this wine, represents the new covenant. And Jesus was having his body broken and his blood shed for our sins. So remember what Jesus did for you this season. And again, you're here in church. Be thankful to God for that. Romans 8:1 says, "We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." He did it. So take that out of this feast that he had with his friends. And even at that dinner, I would say, one of his very good friends, Judas Iscariot, had already betrayed him. And so don't think your life is going to be perfect. It wasn't for Jesus, okay? If someone betrays you, says something unkind, makes some impossible demand of you, recognize that that was part of Jesus' last earthly moments with his disciples, that one of those 12 was betraying him. but we can still make a tradition, make some memories of sitting down together, and make sure you've made your peace with God. Matthew 22 is a wedding feast, and in this feast, people are invited, and they don't come. Hey, Isaiah, if I invited you to a birthday party, and I said there's going to be cake and all kinds of great stuff, wouldn't you at least come? Right? Well, maybe not to your party, Paul. You're old and boring. Okay, but if it was a friend who you really liked, okay, one of those friends, Isaiah, and if you were going to play kickball and eat lasagna and have birthday cake, wouldn't you want to go to that party? Well, Jesus tells a story in a parable about this prince who's getting married, they invite all these people, and guess what? They all gave dumb excuses. Like, I just bought some cows. I got to go see if they work. Okay, if you were going to buy a car, haven't you ever heard of the test drive? Right? You drive it first. You don't say, oh, I just bought a car. I'm going to go see if it works. But if you read through that story in Matthew 22, all the excuses they give are bad excuses. Just really dumb excuses. Whatever excuse you give for not asking Jesus to be your Savior is a bad excuse. It's a dumb excuse. Okay? And you can say, I just wanted to be in charge. That's a really dumb decision. Because the Bible is full of stories of people that reject God and are destroyed, or people that obey God and are blessed and happy. Even in the midst of trials, they're blessed and they're happy. 1 John 2:28 says, some people will be ashamed when Jesus comes back. 1 Corinthians 3 says, some will be saved, but as through fire. They never really did anything for God and built on this foundation of Jesus Christ. And then some, 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, some are lost. They never, ever experienced spiritual life because they never gave their heart to Jesus. As it was in the days of Noah, people will be feasting and having a great time right up until Jesus Christ comes back. And it's okay to celebrate Thanksgiving. Okay, I think I'm done here. Well, maybe not. It's okay to celebrate Thanksgiving and have a feast and go to wedding feasts and things like that, but we don't want to get caught up in all the partying down here and think it's all about us. It's all about a good time, because it's not. Joseph, think about Joseph sitting down with his brothers back up in his life. He spent several years alone in prison. Alone in prison. He had done nothing wrong. He spent several years alone in prison. Excuse me. Job had a season of the deepest, darkest despair possible, made worse by motor mouth friends who were very impressed with their own wisdom. Okay? And so as we think about holidays of togetherness, consider Pastor Saeed over in Iran, and Pastor Joseph Nardarkhani. I don't even know if he's still alive, but there's many, many pastors, many Christians who are separated from their families. As we go into a holiday where we're thinking hot gravy and mashed potatoes is a good day, they're thinking, boy, if I could just get a message to my family that I'm okay. So let's be thankful for what we have, but also let's continue earnestly in prayer and be vigilant in that for our friends, our relatives that are not in a situation where they're going to be celebrating with loved ones. If I could go back and change the story of Job, I would love to just zap out the three friends that just giving all this advice that they don't really, not that it was all bad, but they just didn't know the situation, obviously. And I wish I could just zap in a golden retriever dog for Job. Say, there, that dog will make you feel better. You know, just pet it. It'll look at you. Okay, just be there, a friend. Even Job's wife, you know, his best friend, presumably in the world, was saying, curse God and die. So we can hit some pretty low moments. And my wish for you is not just a golden retriever when you go through your dark moments. But obviously pets can help us out through some dark times. But if we could learn from the pets, don't say anything. Just be there. Just be there. Just be there. If we could just be there for our friends that are going through tough times. Jesus was alone in a desert 40 days, temptation. Moses, 80 days on Mount Sinai, interrupted by supreme unfaithfulness. It was only God's covenant and Moses' intercession that kept God from wiping out the Jews when they were being so unfaithful. And so again and again in Deuteronomy, God says, it's not because you were so especially obedient. You guys were stubborn and disobedient. The only reason I'm still with you is I made a promise to you. I made a covenant with you, and I'm not going back on that. And folks, There are a lot of one-way promises, aren't there? Okay, where God has kept his end of the deal, and we've just not lived up to our promises. So all I'm going to say is Psalm 116, I think it's verse 12, says, "What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me?" If you want to decorate your house for the holidays, that's fine. But decorate your heart too. And put some praise in there and garments of praise, purity, love, joy, peace, patience, all the fruit of the Spirit. Put that into your life as well to decorate your home so when you have guests over. So those are just some things that came to me as I looked at different feasts in the Bible and very, very simple, very low-level theology, nothing grand in the scheme of things here like we're used to getting. But from this very simple message, I would like you to just consider God can be glorified. God can be glorified when we come together as a family around the table, whether it's the Lord's Supper or your celebrations in these coming days here. He can be glorified, but we have to be proactive. We have to go at it. Go at it in prayer, number one, and just say, I am gonna keep lifting up my family. I'm gonna lift up this celebration to you. And just an aside, I did read a little bit about Mary. Mary and Martha, you know the story. And Mary knew that she needed to be at the feet of Jesus listening. And don't let the busyness of the season, just take away from your time with your loved ones and take away from your time with the Lord. Continue to spend time with him and continue to spend time with others. Don't get so busy with, cutting out the little snowflakes that you're going to hang from the ceiling. They're pretty, but, maybe you could go with 100 less and still talk to your family members. Okay, so let's just pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for the example of Scripture. And Lord, we have been blessed to such a high level in our country. We often do just forget about you. We just think, oh, my hard work, my degree, my this, my that. I've got the American work ethic and I built an empire. Lord, help us not to do that ever. Help us to realize that all our works of righteousness are as filthy rags, that only your free gift of salvation gives us a chance to have a relationship with you. So help us to embrace your grace and to say, yes, Lord, I apply your blood to my life. Please wash away my sins. And Lord, help us, once we've accepted that free gift of salvation, to then get about the work of living for you and serving you and obeying your commands and living pure and holy lives, so that we can be salt and light to others and invite all of our friends, all of our loved ones that don't know you to the great wedding feast someday that we will have with you in heaven. And I just pray that we would just learn how to do it right a little bit more this year. In Jesus' name, amen. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name.